Welcome to Come Follow Me, Mental Health Insights with Dr. David Morgan. Each week we'll review a concept from the Come Follow Me lesson and talk about applications to improve our mental and emotional health. Hi, welcome to episode 10 of season 3. This week we are studying 2 Nephi chapters 20 through 25. And so this week we finish up the Isaiah chapters of 2 Nephi, and we also get a little bit of Nephi's own prophecy. There were a couple things that stood out to me in these final Isaiah chapters. In 2 Nephi chapter 20, we read about how wicked Israel was going to be punished for their rebellion. The Lord chose the Assyrians as the vessel of his punishment. And we know that in 721 BC, Assyria invaded Jerusalem, and it was one of the more significant conquests of the Jews. Isaiah then describes how after Assyria conquers Jerusalem, that the king of Assyria becomes braggish, boasting of his military might. We read in 2 Nephi chapter 20, starting in verse 12, "Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion in Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. For he saith, By the strength of my hand and by my wisdom have I done these things, for I am prudent, and I have moved the borders of the people, and I have robbed their treasures, and I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. And my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathereth eggs that are left, I have gathered all the earth, and there was none that moved the wing, or opened the mouth, or peeped. Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it? As if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up, or as if the staff should lift itself up, as if it were no wood." Verse 15 has always been a favorite of mine. I love the analogy of the axe or the saw or the rod basically boasting about what they've been able to accomplish, when actually it's the person that's holding those tools that deserves the credit. I guess this is just a reminder to be humble and teachable. Sometimes we are instruments in the Lord's hands to get his work done, but we always need to remember how we are supported by his power. In a few weeks, we'll talk about the last discourse of King Benjamin once we get to the book of Mosiah. King Benjamin provides some very good counsel on how to stay appropriately humble. One of the best things about humility is it keeps us teachable. When we are teachable, we are open to new ideas that can help us. One of the challenges with mental health is that sometimes we become very rigid. We often think there is only one solution to our issues, or other times we've tried solutions in the past that haven't worked, and then we just write them off forever. If we're humble, we can be sensitive to the Spirit, which can direct us to try something new or to repeat something that we've tried before. It could be that in this new season of life, those things that were not helpful in the past could be helpful now. So we just need to be open to the ideas that we get from the Holy Ghost, and humility is a great way to be open to those. One of the other things that stood out to me in this week's reading was, again, this recurring theme of hope. Even though Israel had really run afoul of the Lord, he promised that as they returned, he would deliver and restore them. He would be merciful, notwithstanding their rebellions. Here are some of the scriptures reflecting that promise and hope. 2 Nephi 21, 11 and 12. "And it came to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of the people which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall gather and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." And 2 Nephi 22, verses 1 through 3. "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." and 2 Nephi 24, verses 1 through 3. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, yea, from far unto the ends of the earth, and they shall return to their lands of promise. And the house of Israel shall possess them, and the land of the Lord shall be for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them, and they shall take them captives unto whom they were captives, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. This is the hope that is promised to us as well. When you are in despair or have great fears about the future, try to remember the promises the Lord has extended to his children. Remember that as we strive to stay on the covenant path, the day will come when all of our fears will end and all of our sadness will cease. Now, while that doesn't necessarily make any current sadness or fear go away, it can help ease the burden and give us more hope. Here's one final thought. This comes from 2 Nephi chapter 25, which is Nephi's own writings. Nephi himself acknowledges that Isaiah can be difficult to understand and promises that his writings will be much more plain, and he definitely delivers. In 2 Nephi 25:23, we read, "For we labor diligently to write, to persuade our children and also our brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God. For we know that it is by grace that we are saved, after all we can do." The last part of that scripture might be familiar. It's been quoted many times and is a great teaching regarding how we improve and progress in this life. When Nephi says we are saved by grace, he is correct. We cannot return to the presence of God without the power of Jesus Christ. But there is also work for us to do. We need to prepare ourselves and do our part. That's the section that says we are saved after all we can do. Our portion is individual to us, but it is required. You cannot compare what is your portion to the portion required of another. You might have to do more or less than them to qualify for the Savior's grace, but there is always a part that we play in our own improvement. That's why I've taught so many times in this podcast that we need to be agents. We need to take responsibility for our own choices. We need to move forward regardless of our liabilities or other challenges. When we realize that our personal improvement begins with us, we can get access to greater power and motivation to make positive change. I love this quote from Elder Klebengott of the 70. Quote, "Take responsibility for your own spiritual well-being. Stop blaming others, or your circumstances. Stop justifying and stop making excuses for why you may not be fully striving to be obedient. Accept that you are free according to the flesh and free to choose liberty and eternal life. The Lord knows your circumstances perfectly, but he also knows perfectly well whether you simply choose not to fully live the gospel. If that is the case, be honest enough to admit it and strive to be perfect within your own sphere of circumstances. Spiritual confidence increases when you take responsibility for your own spiritual well-being by applying the atonement of Jesus Christ daily." That's the end of the quote. Make sure that as you focus on your mental health, that you take primary responsibility for your change. Don't blame others and don't blame your circumstances. Whatever your situation, believe that change starts with you and then partner with the Savior to improve your life. I always end these podcast episodes with an invitation to act and just invite you to give prayerful consideration to which of these invitations would be good for you to do. This week's invitation is to identify one area of your life where you feel you could take greater responsibility. And then answer, what is your plan to become more responsible in this area? Then write down your plan and strive to follow it on a regular basis. I have free worksheets that you can download to help you remember and implement the weekly invitations. To find out how to get these, just sign up for my email newsletter. You can find that link in the show notes. Also, I invite you to subscribe to the podcast and please share this with others. There's written transcripts of the podcast as well, and you can find that link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and until next time, this is Dr. David Morgan reminding you that change is possible, but change requires action, and to always keep moving forward. Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more, please visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drdavidtmorgan.com.